It is day 38 of the Iran war. U.S. President Donald Trump has given the Islamic regime until 8 p.m. East Coast time tonight to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to international shipping. If Tehran does not comply, Mr. Trump has vowed to destroy Iran's power plants and bridges. Tehran has rejected a U.S. ceasefire proposal, demanding instead a permanent end to the war, economic sanctions, and related regional conflicts, as well as compensation for damages from American and Israeli strikes. The threats and counterproposals show two adversaries tracing the outlines of a potential diplomatic turn, we report today. Such an outcome would mark a victory for the rule of law. As 100 prominent U.S. scholars and practitioners of international law noted in an open letter last week, "We collectively affirm the importance of equal application of international law to all, including countries that hold themselves out as global leaders." It's Tuesday, April 7th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The Supreme Court backed a bid to dismiss Steve Bannon's case. On Monday, it threw out a lower court's ruling that upheld a 2022 criminal conviction. The right-wing media personality was jailed for 4 months for defying a subpoena to testify before a House committee investigation of the 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. The Department of Justice filed to dismiss Mr. Bannon's conviction in the interest of justice. The Supreme Court's unsigned order returned the case to the lower court for further consideration. Somalia is expected to start its first offshore oil drilling. A Turkish drilling vessel is set to arrive Friday to begin operations. The move follows earlier surveys that identified promising reserves and marks a step toward mapping the country's energy potential. The project is part of a growing partnership with Turkey, which has expanded its presence in Somalia in recent years. Years of conflict had deterred exploration. Officials say discovery of hydrocarbon resources could support economic recovery. Artemis II set a distance record. NASA's spaceship rounded the far side of the moon and set a record for the farthest distance humankind has traveled from Earth. Artemis II surpassed the previous record of 248,655 miles, set by Apollo 13 by 4,100 miles. The crew received a posthumously released recording from Apollo 13 astronaut Jim Lovell saying, "Welcome to my old neighborhood." During the lunar flyby, Commander Reed Wiseman requested an unnamed crater be named after his wife, Carol, who passed away in 2020. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Despite President Donald Trump's latest threats, diplomacy continues for an Iran ceasefire. He set an April 7 deadline to reopen the Strait of Hormuz shipping lanes, but has moved deadlines before. Anna Mulrein-Groba reports for the Monitor. Hungary is going to the polls on April 12, and the future of Prime Minister Viktor Orbán's government looks doubtful. So he's turning to a familiar boogeyman on the campaign trail, the war in Ukraine, and the danger he claims it poses to his fellow citizens. Dominik Sogel reports from Győr, Hungary, for the Monitor. The war in Iran is showing that Europe has more leverage over the United States than its leaders had thought. But can they use it? Mark Sappenfield reports from Berlin for the Monitor. The Department of Homeland Security has been buying up warehouses around the United States so that it can house more immigrants that it hopes to deport. Some communities oppose the new detention sites, while some local officials see economic opportunities. Sarah Matusik and Jingnong Peng report for The Monitor. The Artemis II crew made history on Monday, reaching the farthest distance humans have ever traveled from Earth. NASA and its commercial partners aim to also pioneer a new space economy through the Artemis missions. Henry Gass reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on forgiveness and redemption. Within a span of 3 weeks, the world's main monotheistic religions have marked significant annual observances: Ramadan for Muslims, Easter for Christians, and Passover for Jews. Specific worship practices during these periods of prayer and reflection differ, but they all touch on common themes of forgiveness as well as redemption or liberation, both from severe external dangers and harsh inner sentiments. Forgiveness forms an important part of what it means to be a Christian, and to be a follower of many other major religions too, Financial Times columnist Jemima Kelly wrote recently. In addition to benefiting individuals, she noted, it can allow nations to heal after decades of conflict and bridge the kind of deep divides we now see in our societies. Celebrating Eid at the end of Ramadan is all about forgiving people, according to Sadiq Farooqi, a writer and Islamic educator based in Karachi, Pakistan. The day's gifts, visiting, and shared meals are for everyone, not just for those whom we like, she wrote in an online post, with a call to develop the ability and strength to forgive others and move on from past grievances. News reports and social media posts over the past year indicate that mercy and empathy are sometimes seen as weaknesses rather than moral virtues. In the United States, political rhetoric around domestic and international differences might seem to bear this out. Yet, there are signs that individuals yearn to place their trust in values and a power that goes beyond personality or politics. People tell me all the time that they are searching for richer, more meaningful lives, according to Lauren Jackson, who writes for Believing, a weekly newsletter on religion in the New York Times. Some of this meaning, Ms. Jackson said, is found in redemption stories, tales of trial, triumph, and deliverance to a new world of possibilities. Passover and Easter offer examples of such deliverance, the former marking the Jews' escape from enslavement in ancient Egypt, the latter venerating Jesus' resurrection after being crucified, as well as his forgiving spirit. A liberative story offers freedom for everybody, theologian and Wheaton College professor Esau McCauley told the New York Times. It offers the transformation of the person and the society. The past week has offered evidence of liberative stories at a global and individual level. In the successful launch of the Artemis II lunar mission and the weekend rescue of two downed U.S. airmen in Iran. In an Easter message from space to a worldwide audience, Artemis crew member Victor Glover said of our planet, "In all of this emptiness, you have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together." This, he said, is an opportunity for us to remember who we are. In his first radio message, sent after about 24 hours of surviving in a remote mountainous region in Iran, the second U.S. airman simply affirmed, "God is good." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we lean on God as the only ego governing us, we're freed from pain and restored to health. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/CS Perspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt and Jingnong Peng.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.